From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A packed show in store for you. Stan Van Gundy wants to keep Greg Monroe. Dan Marino files a concussion lawsuit against the NFL. We'll have Top 5 Tuesday and the Lions going 4-12. Folks, all of that and so much more. But before we get to all of it, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
I'm Matthew Lutke, and these are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for today, Tuesday, June 3rd. Yesterday's Capital Diamond Classic baseball semifinals were postponed until today due to yesterday's heavy rains. Grand Ledge will now face DeWitt at 5:30 p.m. today before Eaton Rapids meets Charlotte at 7:30 at Cooley Law School Stadium. The championship game of the 53rd annual Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic between the semifinal winners will now be played at 7 p.m. on Wednesday at Kircher Municipal Park near Frandorf, since the Midwest League's Lansing Lugnuts will host South Bend at 7 p.m. on Wednesday at Cooley Law School Stadium. In former Spartan news, Brandon Kearney will play his final year of college basketball at Detroit Mercy. After 2 years at Michigan State and a year at Arizona State, the 6'6" swingman decided to transfer a second time and play for the Titans, he said Monday afternoon after visiting with the coaching staff. He will have to sit out 1 year before playing in 2015 and 16. In baseball action, the Detroit Tigers hope to snap a two-game losing streak tonight as they host game one of a three-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays. First pitch is set for 7:08 p.m., and the Tigers will send Anibal Sanchez on the mound against Drew Hutchinson. In Pistons news, new Pistons president and coach Stan Van Gundy told Pistons.com he'd like to keep restricted free agent Greg Monroe in Detroit. When speaking of Monroe and center Andre Drummond, Van Gundy said it's, quote, an ideal pairing. If I just look at the film I've watched now and looking at the numbers, you would say that Greg and Andre together were great offensively. That was a great combination on the offensive end of the floor, especially when the three guys around them were shooters, more conventional perimeter types. Now, while the encouraging words for Monroe may be writing on the wall for Josh Smith, either way, it'll be an interesting offseason for the Pistons. In NFL news, Dan Marino is the latest high-profile footballer to file a concussion-related lawsuit against the league. The lawsuit filed May 28th by Marino and 14 others accuses the NFL of carelessness, light negligence, and intentional misconduct regarding concussions. The plaintiffs seek money for medical treatment stemming from injuries suffered during their playing careers. In other odd NFL news, John Elway's son Jack faces disturbing the peace and assault charges stemming from a domestic incident Friday in which he reportedly dragged his girlfriend of a year out of their vehicle and onto the ground. After the woman tried to get up, she was allegedly knocked down again by Elway before he fled on foot. He was arraigned Saturday, and his next court appearance is set for June 5th. Back to the NBA, New York Knicks president Phil Jackson has been fined $25,000 by the league for tampering with his former Laker guard and current Oklahoma City Thunder player Derek Fisher. The fine stems from statements made during a press conference last week about the possibility of hiring Fisher as the Knicks' new head coach. Teams are not permitted to directly or indirectly express interest in other teams' looming free agents, such as Fisher with the Thunder. And in the never-ending Donald Sterling saga, the former Clippers owner has been openly accused of racist and sexist remarks in a lawsuit. This coming from a woman who previously worked for Mr. Sterling, who says she refused to have sex with him and he repeatedly made racist and sexist remarks in her presence. Sterling's attorney, Bobby Samini, said the allegations are completely baseless on Monday night. And that ends your Current Sports quick hit headliners for today, Tuesday, June 3rd. We'll send it back to Al to start the show.
Hey! thanks a lot, Matt. Wow, a lot has happened. Boy, I tell you, sports is such a revolving cycle each and every day. And can we put this Donald Sterling thing to bed? My goodness, there's always something with Donald, I tell you. And did you guys see, I don't know if you guys saw this, I found it pretty comical. Donald Sterling actually attended a Baptist church over the weekend, and a predominantly African-American church. And it was an interesting story as the pastor of the church invited Donald to come on out and enjoy the service. And his message was about forgiveness and how we should forgive all people. A great message, but, you know, it was just, it's kind of odd because it's like this story just will not die. I tell you, it's just something new every day with Donald Sterling, I tell you, folks. But on today's show, we have a ton to get to. You heard the headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that's on your noggin, you know you can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKR. We have a fantastic show in store for you and a special Top 5 Tuesday for you, folks. You know, this is really cool because Matt brought this to my attention after yesterday's show as we were trying to rack our brains and come up with a Top 5 Tuesday subject, and we thought this would be a pretty fun one, to say the least. We're asking you guys, if you could kind of just go into, if you could be the I guess, the all-time, you know, time-traveling GM, if you would, and go back in time and look at, you know, just in the Izzo era, just looking at just the era of time Izzo and MSU men's basketball history. If you could go back in time, look at all of the great players that Tom Izzo has coached over time, and if you could put together your all-time starting five, who would it be? Now, there is a catch to all of this because, you know, I'm looking at this chart, you know, before we took the show for today. And the chart is actually broken up into, of course, the five categories, the starting five categories of point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. Now, the catch to this whole thing is that you only have $15, right? And it's categorized in each category. It's like in a grid pattern here, and it lists from $5 all the way to $1 different players and their value, their just overall economic value. And you only have $15 to do so. It's like Mateen Cleaves in the point guard category. He's a $5 pick. Kalen Lucas is a $4. Keith Appling is $3. And I could go on and on. It's set up like that for each position. And we'll kind of break down the grid and give you our picks on it. But I'm curious to get yours. Again, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKR. And our phone lines will stay open this entire hour. 517-355-9527. We'll certainly have some fun with that. And, you know, interesting article I was reading, you know, before the show today. And a USA Today sports writer has decided to tackle, his name is Nate Davis. He has decided to tackle the P word. We all know it. Predictions in sports, okay? And he has actually gone and went division by division in the NFL, division by division, team by team, and given an early prediction on how that team will do. And, you know, of course, we had to scroll right to the Lions. And I see that he actually has the Detroit Lions looking at the NFC North here. He has the Packers going, just looking at this division here. The Packers going 12-4. The Bears going 11-5. The Lions going 4-12. And the Vikings bottoming out in that division at 3-13. He goes on to give a brief description on why he said the Lions would go 4-12. And he went on to say, quote, "So much talent, but so much to prove. Tough to find a lot of wins given lack of improvement on defense." You're preaching to the choir when it comes to that lack of improvement on defense, I tell you. And you know, it's interesting because I don't think I think the Lions will make the playoffs next season. I don't think they'll go 4-12. And I'm curious to see what you think about his early season prediction. That's sometimes you never know what predictions. This is a guy, again, the season hasn't even started yet. We don't know how good these teams are going to be. But he certainly sparked up a lot of conversation as, again, he went through each and every team in the NFL and gave his early season predictions on that. So, again, you can give. We're taking your calls throughout the entire hour on anything that we talk about here on Current Sports. And anything that you want to talk about, 517-355-9527. Matt Luckey and Alex Shark now joins me. How you guys doing? How you guys doing, fellas? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Glad to be here. Have to disagree with the Lions
I totally
prediction
with
there.
It. That's ridiculous. 4-12?
4-12.
That's bad.
On top of that, just the division being that bad.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
A little strong for me.
Very, very strong. What's up? What's going on, Alex?
Not much, man. I've been getting my workouts in a lot lately.
Yeah, you hit me up pretty late last night and went to Planet Fitness last night. Well, you're staying on it, man.
I'm using some tips that Mike Ball gave earlier on in the year. It's all about what you eat. It's all about what you eat.
And so what did you eat for break? I'm curious. Did you try that oatmeal thing?
No, what I did was I went to Meijer and I bought tons of eggs. So I'll just eat 2 eggs. I'll have a protein shake in the morning, a yogurt. That's it. I'm not pulling the Mike Ball where you put yogurt, cereal, oatmeal, and a bunch of different things together into one thing.
You're keeping it simple.
Yeah, keeping it simple, but pretty healthy. It's all about what you eat. It's so true.
Oh, gotta love that. That's good. Just changing your life for the better when it comes to fitness. I gotta love that. I'm gonna get back on my grind soon. Okay, soon, folks. All right. Well, let's start. Let's kick off the show with our first topic here. An interesting one. Stan Van Gundy, as you just heard during our current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Pretty interesting because, you know, we've talked about this on the show, and Van Gundy is very adamant on retaining Greg Monroe. Of course, Stan is the new Pistons president and also the new head coach of the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, he talked of Monroe and center Andre Drummond and really kind of harped on those two and how well, based on film that he's watched, how well those two play together. Just to read the quote again, quote, "If I look at just the film I've watched now and looking at the numbers, you would say that Greg and Andre together were great offensively. That was a great combination on the offensive end of the floor, especially when the three guys around them were shooters, more conventional perimeter types." Interesting discussion here, Matt, because when I look at this, and I've gone on record to say that I really love Andre Drummond. He's a stud. He's a great young player. When he first came in the league, he was NBA ready. And Greg Monroe, too. I mean, Greg Monroe, you know, throughout his tenure with Detroit, I mean, he's shown flashes that he can be a potential all-star each and every season. He's so dynamic. He can punish you down low. He's a dynamic scorer in many regards. He's got a lot of moves in the post. I love him. But the thing is, you know, looking at that this whole Van Gundy argument that he does want to retain Greg Monroe, really the argument that he really harped on was how well him and Andre Drummond play together. And he really didn't talk at all about the elephant in the room. And we all know what I'm about to bring up, that being Josh Smith. Again, I've gone on record to say I don't think that Josh Smith, Drummond, and Monroe will ever be able to play together cohesively. And there's an interesting dynamic here because the Pistons are certainly in a pickle because Josh Smith's ridiculous contract kind of just it makes you – looking at it, it's four-year contract worth $54 million. That amount of money being he's definitely overpaid because we've seen Josh Smith on the court. I mean, he shoots a lot. He just hasn't found his niche when it comes to this squad. Now, if Josh Smith wasn't in this whole argument here, I totally agree with Stan Van and would say Drummond and Monroe, definitely. Sky's the limit for those guys. The more they play together, the more they will know each other's games. And year by year, I think those two would get better playing with each other. The thing is, when you got Josh Smith, who's another guy who likes to sometimes go inside but likes to shoot more than often, that's what complicates this whole thing with me. Now, if there is a niche in Greg Monroe's armor here, if you will, for the Pistons, it has to start defensively for me, Matt. Because right now, this team was so bad last year defensively. I mean, they were among the bottom of the barrel out of all teams in the NBA when it came to defense. And I saw in that inside, you would think that when you got Monroe and Drummond down there, you would think those guys would step up and make plays and really be havoc down there for anybody clogging the lane. But that's how a lot of teams torch the Pistons, just walking up in the paint, easy layups. And it really just blew my mind. But right now, they're not giving up Josh Smith. I don't see that happening because he's all that money, $54 million is a lot of money. And the elephant in the room is certainly him. And you got Andre Drummond, who you're not giving up because that's your franchise player. So really, ideally, the odd man out for me would seem to be Monroe. And it's a sticky situation, man. I don't know.
It is, and it's, you know, kind of that last, you know, lasting legacy of the Dumars era is going to be that Josh Smith contract because it's an albatross to the franchise right now.
Right.
They have to pick a direction, and you can't do it with both of them. With both Monroe and Smith. And you said he didn't really talk about Josh Smith when he was talking about Monroe and Drummond. And it's interesting because he said they're better with more perimeter-oriented players around them.
Right, yep.
He might as well have said they're better when Josh Smith is not on the floor.
Right.
Josh Smith was the worst three-point shooter in the NBA last year.
That's crazy. Yeah.
The worst.
Yep.
You can't have him taking as many outside shots as he did last season, and that's going to continue to happen if he's playing the three. I mean, that's just the nature of the position, of the small forward position. He's got to be outside a little bit. You have to space the floor somehow. But basically, by putting him there, you're just, you know, begging him to shoot threes. I mean, if right. he has an open look, he's going to take it. We've seen that over the course of his career. He's not afraid to shoot the ball.
No, he's definitely trigger happy.
He's not
when
great.
He comes to that. Right.
Not great shooting the ball, but he's not. It's not going to stop him. That's not going to scare him away. So I think they have to pick one way or the other. And while his contract is terrible and tough to work with,
$13 million a year.
I think you have to find a way to move him, mm-hmm. and it's going to be painful. When they do it, they're going to have to give up a lot and probably get back a lot less. I mean, if they had to give up a first-round draft pick to get rid of Ben Gordon,
right.
I don't know what they're going to have to get rid of, you know, to dump Josh Smith. So I think the quickest way you can kind of, and I'm sure they'll try it for a little bit this year, but mm-hmm. they're going to be testing the waters with both Monroe and Smith.
They have to find a way to
find a lineup that works, find a rotation that works, and I don't know if it's going to involve all three.
No,
I think they're
going
to look to move somebody. Monroe is the easy candidate, but at the same time, that temptation of having two young frontline players mm-hmm. might be too much for Van Gundy.
Yeah,
he might opt to keep the young guns instead of Smith.
Right. Alex, what were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, honestly, aside from the logistics of it, I think that before the draft, it's not something to really be talking about because you don't want to judge your team based off last year before you acquire new talent. What if for some reason the Pistons decide to trade a pick or they somehow move up in the draft and they end up drafting a forward, but then you're saying that you want to keep Monroe, so now you're stuck. So it kind of limits what you're going to do in the draft as well. As much as you think the Pistons draft pick is gone, I would consider that the Pistons actually may make a move in the draft. But
if they make a move in the draft, wouldn't you think it would involve Monroe or Smith?
Right.
I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. the thing. I mean, I think that's why we are talking about it, because if they do want to make a move,
right.
why wouldn't you do it now?
Give yourself a chance
to get some young talent.
Right. I think Van Gundy coming out and making this statement about Greg Monroe sort of solidifies in stone that Greg Monroe is going to be a part of this team next season. He wants to see him and Drummond play together. I think that's Van Gundy's smart. He knows what he's doing here. Coming out and saying that kind of puts everything to bed about the rumors about Greg Monroe possibly being traded. But he, like you said, he has not said anything about any other player on the team. So sky's the limit with that. Again, they very well could make a move and possibly get a pick in the first round. I wouldn't rule that out. And looking at this whole thing, it really, when you look at the Pistons squad right now, I want to ask you guys, with the draft coming up later on this month in June, what exactly should the Pistons do here? If, let's just say, they don't get a first round pick and they have, you know, that late second round pick here. I was looking at a report reading this morning about them possibly looking at Travis Bader, of course, Oakland University sharpshooter, the leading 3-point, you know, record holder in NCAA Division I basketball history, a local kid from Okemos High School. He's had numerous workouts. And, you know, with the Pistons, looking at last season too, this is another Achilles heel, was that they just couldn't shoot from the three-point line, period. I mean, they were among the worst teams in the NBA when it came to three-point efficiency. And you can't win in today's NBA without having shooters that can knock down three-point shots. So I could definitely see them going that route to get a shooter. I think they need a shooter because right now, this team is hurting in that area, period.
Yeah, and I mean, and we talked about it when we were hoping that the Pistons did have a first-round draft pick when it hadn't gone to Charlotte yet. We were thinking, yeah, they need to target a shooter.
Right.
And if Bader is there late in the draft, which by all indications he should be,
right?
I mean, why not pull the trigger? And maybe, you know, maybe he goes undrafted and then they pick him up via free agency. I mean, any number of ways. They just need to get more shooters on the roster.
Yeah, they do.
And that's something that Stan Van has done historically back with the Heat and the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a central hub in the middle, whether it was Shaq or Dwight Howard, and then you just surround them with guys who can shoot the ball because you can space the floor, and it makes things easier for everybody that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. It definitely does. So I could definitely see them going that route. But, you know, right now, again, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I could see Smith, like you said, man, I could see Smith riding the bench a lot maybe next season if they do decide to keep him, or gone.
Right. Period. And you know, they said when he came in, when Stan Van came in, he's not the type of coach that's going to let you keep playing if you're doing stuff that he doesn't like.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, instead of, you know, Lawrence Frank or Mo Cheeks, rather,
right.
you know, Mo Cheeks or John Lawyer, instead of having Josh Smith jack up 3 3-pointers in the first quarter and miss all of them,
yeah.
instead of continuing to play, he's seeing the bench and he's not getting out on the floor again.
And deservedly so.
If you have right. someone to hold him accountable, maybe you can change him. I don't know, though.
Right. Exactly.
You know what, though?
Yeah.
Josh Smith riding the bench from a fan's perspective, it's kind of the same thing what happened with Charlie Villanueva. You pay big money for a guy, he starts his first year, he doesn't meet expectations, it's Stan Van's vision. You see Smith sitting on the bench for each game, coming off the bench, contributing a little bit. I feel like fans will be very frustrated with that. And obviously, there's more to it than just that, but just a fair warning. This is going to be just another leftover mark of Joe Dumars, and it's unfortunate to see that. That's just something I want to add. I mean, think about it. Josh yeah. Smith comes off the bench. Really, I mean, is he going to come off the bench and take control of a game? When Charlie Villanueva came off, he just shot threes.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's what Charlie Villanueva does.
Right.
But you have a playmaker coming off the bench, so I'm wondering if that happens, what his role is specifically going to be like.
Well, he'll eventually be gone off the roster. That's what's going to happen, I think, guys. That's exactly what's going to happen. They'll find a way. They're not just going to let Van Gundy's not going to let a player like that rot on the bench. I mean, they're going to try to get something out of it. And they have to. I mean, this kind of. And I just don't get it. 4 years. What were they thinking? 4 years.
That's pretty much what the league thought.
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
That's crazy. $54 million is totally ridiculous. He's probably the most overpaid player in the entire league.
Well, especially for a player who does the same things as a guy you already have who
right.
is younger and more promising. Just it was puzzling when it happened. People questioned how the spacing was going to work. It didn't.
Nope.
And now they're just kind of stuck with all three of them.
And what happened with the coaches who tried to take over, they just tried to, like with Lawrence Frank and Mo Cheeks, they just tried to force a puzzle piece that just didn't fit, period. That's exactly what happened, guys. All right. Well, let's transition to our next discussion before we hit the first break. Dan Marino, how about this? Dan Marino is the latest high-profile NFLer to file a concussion-related lawsuit against the NFL. Now, the lawsuit was filed on May 28th by Marino and 14 others, accuses the NFL of carelessness, negligence, and intentional misconduct regarding concussions. You know, looking at this entire list, which is about like 5,000 players trying to sue the NFL right now for this whole concussion fiasco. Dan Marino, it's a lot of known names. If you look at that, I don't know if you guys have looked at the list. It's a lot of players that really don't have a lot of flair to them. They may have, you know, rolled the bench or, you know, been second stringers or, you know, a lot of players, not a lot of prolific NFL players, I would say. Marino is now one of the guys who have come out. He's definitely the biggest name now that has come out and adamantly filed a concussion lawsuit against the NFL. And, you know, we've been having this conversation month in and month out here on the show. And a big name like this one, Dan Marino. I mean, Dan Marino is looked at as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game of football. And a big name like this coming out and kind of just affirming everything that has been going on with this whole concussion fiasco and saying that he was one of the ones who feels as though, yeah, I mean, you guys screwed up here. It just adds another black eye to the NFL. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe this sparks some unveiling of other high-profile athletes who feel the same way. Who knows? But, you know, an athlete like Dan Marino's stature certainly coming out, certainly it made me turn up my radio a little bit. You know, when I was driving and heard that, I'm like, Dan Marino was coming out? I mean, it's serious stuff here. Now, the NFL, I think, right now, is really doing its best to try to cover up this whole thing. I wouldn't say cover up, but trying to make itself seen in a better light with the Heads Up program. They've really adopted that and made that become like a really standpoint of you know, this is how you tackle in youth football. I just really hope, and I was listening to a few radio shows yesterday that really talked about this and went in depth on it. I really hope this does not hurt the game at the youth level, because you know what? A lot of parents are seeing this whole thing. A lot of parents are out there listening to this whole thing, and there's a lot of leagues out there, a lot of little leagues out there. Now, granted, the Heads Up program is really, really taking a lot of heed throughout the entire nation. A lot of little league programs are adopting it. We actually had a representative, I remember, not too long ago on the show to talk about it. And I really hope that it doesn't deter parents from allowing their son to play the game of football. That's the biggest thing I hope it doesn't do. And now when you have a big name like Dan Marino, who was looked up by many growing up, having him come out and say that, yeah, the league screwed up here and concussions are really a serious deal. I mean, that does not bode well for the overall perception of the game of football. Not even just the NFL realm, but just the game of football in general, Matt.
Absolutely. And more than anything, it just kind of illustrates that this is not going to go away.
It's not. No, it's not. At all.
If anything, it's going to start ramping up. Because I think after Marino, I think more and more players will come forward and join the lawsuit and you know, fight for some medical help. Because these guys just can't do it. And you look at Dan Marino, I mean, he was on NFL Today for 11 years. I mean, right. This isn't a guy who, you know, one would immediately peg as someone who suffers from, you know, post-concussion syndrome. You know,
he's not
a guy that you would peg for that kind of, you know, symptoms, but he's joining the fight. You know, if you have a guy like this who has been a public face of the league, even after his playing days, and is now kind of turning against them, and seeking medical assistance, it's pretty damning for the NFL.
I mean, that is
not what they want. And it's interesting that Marino left the NFL Today, the CBS, you know, preview show in February, and now he's joining the lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, it's been on his mind.
Once he wasn't, you know, employed by the NFL, his tune changed. So it's an interesting thing there where once he kind of got away from the situation, now he kind of recognizes, or maybe he's been wanting to do it for a while and CBS was just not having it. Maybe the NFL was not having it.
Right, now that
he's not a part of it, he's free to do what he wants. I think it's going to be a snowball effect as we go forward.
I want to ask you guys, with this whole ordeal, do you guys think, especially with a name like Marino coming out and really putting another target on this whole discussion, do you think that football would take a hit at the youth level? Because I always go
100%.
You think it will? Because
yes.
I always go back to Obama. You know, when Obama came out and he said, if I had a son, yeah, I would think twice about, you know, letting him play football. You know, and you know, I look at, I've been covering high school football in this area for a while now. And it's big. I mean, high school football is big in mid-Michigan. I mean, I love covering Friday night football around here. And sometimes, you know, when I'm driving to, you know, a city like Portland, you know, or a city like Ithaca, where Ithaca has won numerous state titles now. I mean, the team is so good. And the city, you know, they close down shops. You know, they close down shops at night to go watch Ithaca play football. It's so big and ingrained in culture. And, you know, a state like Texas is the same way. I mean, numerous schools throughout. Texas is known for its high school football atmosphere. And looking at just the hype around it in youth football at the high school level in areas such as that, even though this concussion ordeal is certainly serious by every means, it kind of makes me, I can't fathom it taking a numerous hit where it's going to affect towns like that who rally around the game, you know, because it's so ingrained in so many cultures, in so many cities that just love high school football. I mean, and kids see that and they look up to those teams.
No, I can see that. I just think all those people who might have been on the fence are now definite no's. I think, like you said, there are going to be areas where it's not going to have an effect at all because that's just the culture. That's just what you do.
Right.
I mean, Texas high school football is, you know, probably more important in Texas than
anything.
National politics or anything like, you know, it's a big deal. That is the culture there. But I think maybe in more northern states, maybe in areas that aren't known as football hotbeds, I think you could see kids kind of skew towards other sports. Why wouldn't they? I mean, when you have all this stuff just constantly being reported about how unsafe it is.
It could be a turnoff.
It really could. And if you're a parent who was considering it, but you were kind of on the fence, I think the more and more this stuff gets reported, the more likely you are to just turn away from football entirely and go in a different direction.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
I mean, there are plenty of them. You can have a kid play basketball. Maybe you'll see baseball. Maybe baseball could capitalize off this somehow.
Right. Somehow,
seems like a golden opportunity.
It's a goal. Definitely a golden opportunity. We had a discussion about the popularity of baseball in youth sports dwindling over time with, of course, the owner of the Lugnuts yesterday and the representatives from GM. And, yeah, this is certainly an opportunity for baseball. And I don't understand why I didn't play baseball in high school, Matt, because baseball, you have no salary cap. Those players get paid a ridiculous amount of money to
really
play baseball.
They really get paid an absurd amount.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like, why didn't I play? I mean, man, I wouldn't be sitting here now. All right, folks. Well, let's hit the first break. When we come back, we'll keep things rolling. Again, you can call in and weigh in on anything that we talk about here on Current Sports, 517-355-9└. 9527. 517-355-9527. We have a pretty cool Top 5 Tuesday to bring to you after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. Guys, you know, before we go into our Top 5 Tuesday, just really quickly, again, you can weigh in on our discussion here. And if you want to discuss anything, hey, we'll talk about it here on the show, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKR. Matt, I got to bring this up really quick because this is the third tweet that I've gotten in the past 2 days because I tweeted out a kind of a preview that we'll be talking about the whole Dan Marino thing. And three people have tweeted me saying that basically boxers aren't complaining, so football players shouldn't complain. That's exactly what I've gotten. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. Let me just throw this out there for those listening. Boxing is a sport where you're knowingly, the name of the game in boxing is to knock somebody out and win a fight. Taking shots to the head is a part of the sport. That is what you do. You know you're good. The goal is to knock somebody out by you hit them in the head. You're going to take shots to the head. That's how boxing is. That's the nature of the sport. Football is totally different in that regard, ladies and gents. What I'm trying to say here is that football players, I mean, obviously, they know the risk. There's in sports in general. We saw Paul George the other day get kneed in the head from Dwayne Wade and suffer a concussion. It happens. Concussions happen in sports. In boxing, though, you're constantly the goal is to hit somebody in the head, and concussions are going to happen in boxing. Football, you're passing the ball through the air. You're running the ball. Of course, tackling is a part of the sport, and in helmet-to-helmet contact happens sometimes. But it's totally different because in boxing, the goal is to hit somebody upside the head, which can lead to concussions. In football, that is not the goal, ladies and gents. It's a totally different sport. I don't understand your argument at all. Boxers are not complaining. Well, they shouldn't complain because
plus,
they know.
You know, I don't think the Boxing Federation said, no, there's no concussion problem at all. That's the crux of the issue, is that the NFL denied that this was a problem in the first place.
Right.
That is the real crux of the issue.
Exactly.
Not that, you know, they should have expected these concussions.
I don't get it at all.
A bit outlandish. But
yeah, that's where the heat is coming. The heat is coming from
Twitter.
The NFL knowingly not, you know, just covering up things. Right. Knowingly covering up things here. Oh, Twitterverse. Gotta love it. All right, folks. Well, let's transition to our second segment of the show, Top 5 Tuesday, and we have a pretty special one for you. Now, if you join us at the beginning of the hour, I kind of gave you a preview to what we're about to dive into right now. And I want to ask you all, if you guys could put together your all-time top five, you know, from shooting guard, point guard, power forward, small forward, and center. Top five, you know, starting lineup in the MSU men's basketball Tom Izzo era. Just looking at the Izzo era here, who would it be? What would your top five look like? I'm curious, but there is a catch to this thing. Matt, you want to break down the catch here?
Okay, so you have to build a starting five, but with $15.
$15.
$15.
So you're like a GM here.
Each position has players listed from $1 to $5. You have to pick and choose a starting five with just $15.
Now, that's tough.
I'm sure we'll post this on our Facebook page so you guys can take a good look at it.
Right. I'll do that now, actually.
Players like Mateen Cleaves, Charlie Bell, Morris Peterson, Draymond Green, and Paul Davis. Those are your five-star, $5 players,
yep,
as far as this is concerned. Then we have guys like Lucas, Kalen Lucas, that is, Gary Harris, Jason Richardson, Zach Randolph, Adrian Payne at $4, Keith Appling, Drew Neitzel, Shannon Brown, Alan Anderson, and Goran Suton at $3, Marcus Taylor, Chris Hill, Raymar Morgan, A.J. Granger, Andre Hudson at $2, Travis Walton, Mo Egger, Kelvin Torbert, Delvon Rowe, Antonio Smith at $1. Those are the bargains.
Those are the bargains right there, man.
That's where you really make your bread.
Yeah.
Those $1
players. Those $1. I tell you, it's pretty interesting. This is pretty interesting stuff. So, again, you can call in and give us what would your starting five look like based off those criteria, 517-355-9527. 95-27.
Now, before we get into our picks,
yeah,
I just want to clarify, are we picking this team for a season, a tournament run, mm-hmm. one game, or,
ooh, that's a,
or
that's
like a,
that's
a good, 4-year period?
That's, well, you brought this to the table, Matt, so I'll let you decide that one.
I think it should be either a season or a tournament run.
Let's do tournament run.
Because when like you get into the run. To the 4-year players, I mean, not all these guys stayed for 4 years, so you're mm-hmm. you know, there's a right. handicap there. So you want to do a tournament run?
Let's do tournament run.
Okay. This all is right, your cool. tournament team.
Well, oh, I mean, I got to make some changes now that it's a tournament run. I don't know if we should have decided that now. I mean,
well, my changes, I'm going to stick with my lineup I have. I'm pretty right, confident
mine,
in this
I mean,
lineup.
I selected mine not off a tournament run. I submitted mine based off weighing if this person played this person when they were both at college at their peak, who would ultimately be better and how would that contribute to the best lineup? So it's a matter of overall college value.
Okay.
Not weighing specifically going to the pros because obviously with Zach Randolph, he was a little bit different of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I kind of stuck with how we saw it in the example in college value.
Right. And yeah, I think that's important to clarify too. Just definitely. How these players performed in college. Where, you know, that's the value we place on them. So, okay, I agree with that. All right, should I start this thing off?
Why don't you start it off?
I'll start with the point guard position.
Okay.
We'll start with the point guard position here. I think, and when it comes to especially in college hoops, in basketball in general, I think that you can win a championship without a prolific big man. But you cannot win a championship, whether it be at the college level or the pro level, in any form of basketball, without a solid point guard. That's why I put so much harp on my point guard here. I'm going with the leader, Mateen Cleaves here. I'm spending my $5 on Mateen Cleaves in that point guard position. That's what I'm going with first, man.
That's a bold pick.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to take Mr. Kalen Lucas for okay. $4.
All right, so you save the dollar.
He is my point guard, yes. I will knock a dollar
why'd you
off
choose
that Cleaves price. I chose Kalen because he's a guy who can create his own shot
mm-hmm.
in a late clock situation. I want the ball in his hands. I don't know right. how many times over the course of his career, in late game situations, it would be that 1-4 high look, he'd get a high screen and roll, and he would make something happen.
Yeah, Kalen did. He
almost
definitely did.
Every time.
Right.
He's
right.
going to hit a big shot for you. He's going to take the big shot for you. He's my guy. If he doesn't tear his Achilles, he's what? A national champion and one of the best MSU point guards.
Why didn't you go with Cleaves? Just to save a dollar?
Just to save a dollar.
Good answer.
Ultimate leader, just to save a dollar.
Right. All right, Alex, what do you got? What do you got for your point guard?
Yeah, so actually, this may come as a shock. When you're talking about a specific model for a team, you look at some of the great let's look at this past tournament. Connecticut and Kentucky. None of those teams, you could argue, I guess, Connecticut in a way, but none of those teams really had a Mateen Cleaves or a Kalen Lucas-style point guard.
Shabazz Napier would beg to differ.
Yeah.
You could argue that Shabazz Napier, but I'd say he was more of a combo guard.
No, Alex. Shabazz Napier, he reminded me kind of a Mateen Cleaves during that run because,
but
I mean, he
was,
had big shots.
He was more of a two, I'd argue.
No.
He's more
he
of a
facilitated
combo
two.
Guard.
Napier did it all, man.
He did it all.
I don't know.
But when you're talking about a pure point guard,
Napier
you can't
was
compare
that.
Napier to Cleaves.
Well, yes, you can, without a doubt.
They're totally
can.
Different players.
No, Napier, he facilitated. He hit big shots. He had that jumper going. He reminded me a lot of Cleaves during that championship run and during his championship run for UConn.
But I'd say Shabazz Napier was more of a scorer than Cleaves was.
See, yeah, I would actually argue that Napier reminds me more of Lucas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But Cleaves was a scorer too, though.
Cleaves was a scorer.
Cleaves
yeah.
could score. He could create his own shot and right. drive. I mean, Cleaves was dynamic. I mean, when
he was.
Cleaves was in college, he had no weaknesses. I didn't see any weaknesses from Cleaves.
That's fair. I mean,
all right. Well, where
anyways,
are you going with this?
What I did go is to build a team with college value today, getting a Shabazz Napier type player. I started looking at the twos through Gary Harris and Neitzel. Are you going to get that same kind of player? I don't think so. And I think you guys are right that between Cleaves and Lucas, it's important to have your point guard. So I actually, in this case, went with Lucas and getting some more of a combo type guard.
It's not a bad pick.
That was a shooter. That was a pat. Although Mateen Cleaves' leadership was through the roof. Obviously, like Matt said, Kalen Lucas had a very unfortunate injury. But I think for college value, with what we just saw this year and even last year at the championship level, I think Lucas is the right pick here.
Okay, so you guys saved $1. I've spent $5. You guys have spent $4 so far. Okay, let's go to shooting guard now. I really wrecked my brain about this one because I really think that Mo Agger at $1, that could be a steal too, man. But I went with Gary. I went with Gary as my shooting guard. I think Gary.
You are $9. $9 on your guards.
Yep, on my guards. Because I think the guards are so important.
And
man.
Al's not a big man guy. Remember that.
Apparently right. I'm not a big man guy.
We were talking about the combine.
Right.
And he's not a big man
right.
guy.
Right. I love my guards. So I put a lot of value on my guards. And again, I went with Gary here. So we all know Gary. I mean, Gary had an unbelievable college career when he was here his past two seasons. It was great to see his maturation process from his freshman year to his sophomore year. So much so that Tom Izzo at one point called him, you know, he could take over games. That Tom Izzo said that about him. Gary Harris, I think he's an outstanding player. You know, and looking at, you know, he had Charlie Bill at five. Drew Knights, who was also a great player. Again, Mo Agger at $1. I was thinking about Mo Agger for that dollar, man. But, again, I place a lot of value. I looked at what do I place value on here a lot, and it's my guards. I went with Gary Harris.
That's a solid pick. Mm-hmm. Even though you're $9 in the hole already, that is a solid pick. You looked at Mo Agger.
I did.
I'm going to pull the trigger on Mo Agger.
You took Mo Agger,
In my eyes, and with all due respect to Walton, Torbert, Rowe, and Smith, he is the most undervalued player on this
chart.
Yeah,
he's a dollar. I've debated about it, Matt.
I think people forget about him. He was a great player when he was here. So I'm going to take him to fill my backcourt next to Lucas. He's got three-point range. Mm-hmm. He can slash. He can get to the rim. I just like a guy who can do it all. And again, he's another player who late in the game, I feel okay with him shooting the ball.
Right.
I am more than okay with him taking the last shot.
Right, right. Okay.
So I'm going to take Agger and Lucas as my backcourt.
Again, I debated about it. I'm going with Harris, though. Alex, who'd you go
and
with?
And I'm most surprised because with the model of having that Shabazz Napier-type player, for me at a two, I'm not looking for a Gary Harris-type player here. You already have Cleaves, Al. I mean, you already have a playmaker.
But Cleaves can facilitate too.
You're going for like a Miami Heat kind of model. You're getting
I'm going with the LeBron and Wade.
So for me,
model,
I just wanted someone just to hit a lot of threes. And when you're talking about a guy like Chris Hill, who had a total of 305 career three-pointers, for me, that's the guy you go with. It's not quite Mo Agger. A little bit different kind of a player. I'm looking for threes here at the two spot because Matt and I both have Kalen Lucas, who's a shooter and a distributor. You're looking for someone on the wing to hit some shots. So I chose Chris Hill here.
Okay. All right. Small forward now. I'm $9 in now, so I had to be smart here. I went with Raymar Morgan. I think the Raymar, too, is kind of undervalued here at $2. I don't know. He could be a $3 guy, but I went with Raymar. Raymar was a... You know, he had a pretty solid career at MSU. I went with Raymar, though. I'm curious. Who'd you go with?
Raymar? I went with Shannon Brown.
Shannon was good, too.
Now,
he stayed a year. Shannon was one in
2 years.
2 years. Okay, 2 years. Okay.
I'm not sure he's a small forward.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering that, too. Yeah.
I would almost flip-flop him and Agger. But either way, they were both part of that 05 Final Four run.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Kalen Lucas, Mo Agger, and Shannon Brown running the fast break, no one is going to be able to stop you. Those are three fast players.
Everybody is fast today. That's the thing.
Everybody is fast. These guys were faster. Shannon Brown was arguably the most athletic player in his high school class, not named LeBron James.
They were pretty good. They were definitely fast, but I don't know. I don't know, man.
Unbelievable athleticism.
He did. Shannon Brown could jump out the gym.
But that's the thing, though.
Unbelievable athleticism.
You still need someone on the wing that's going to sit back for the open three. I feel like
I have two guys who are capable of doing that, but who can also pump fake that three, drive, and throw down a vicious dunk.
So, Alex, you're placing a lot. It seems like Alex is putting a lot of harp on shooting. You went with a lot of shooters in this one.
Well,
who'd you go with?
And that's the thing.
Who's your small forward?
I went with Shannon Brown, but my big difference was with Chris Hill. Just having a solid guy who is there to shoot threes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I just think that you could argue that there are some guys like Paul Davis that obviously can hit threes. There's Neitzel in there that can hit threes. There are some guys in there that can sit on the wing and shoot some threes, but you need, in my opinion, with what we just talked about with the whole Pistons thing and drafting shooting, You need someone on there that can sit on a wing and shoot.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
a guard.
And well, I think well, that, I love Raymar, though, because I mean, if you look at that forward position, I mean, Raymar brings, you know, rebounding. You know, he brings leadership. A lot of people forget. Back, you know, during the Cole Kalen Lucas era, I mean, Raymar and Kalen, they were co-captains on that team. I'm placing a lot on leadership here, too, because, I mean, there's no greater leader in Spartan men's basketball history than, of course, Mateen Cleaves, without a doubt. And I think that means a lot. And, you know, having Raymar, too, he kind of had a strong personality when it came to leadership as well. And he brings that rebounding. Yeah, he's pretty athletic, versatile wing player. I like him in that position. And I'm going broke, so I had to go with Raymar. So, all right, guys. Well, all right, let's move on now. Let's go with the power forward. The power forward for me, seeing as though, let's see, I spent $5 on Mateen, $4 on $9, 10, 11. That's 11 bucks. So I have $4 left. Had to go with AJ Granger. Just had to go with him because I have $4 left. I got to be smart here. Delvon Roe, though, I debated about Delvon. I think Delvon is also a possible steal there for a dollar.
But with Granger, you've got that three-point shooting.
I got that three-point shooting, too. So go. I got some
there
inside
go.
Presence there, and I got the three-point shooting there who can also right. give you some rebounds. You got leadership. I don't know. I'm liking my squad now, guys. I don't know.
No, you're all of our squads are shaping up to be pretty yeah. darn good. Now, for me at the four, this is my hardest call.
Okay.
I am torn between Allen Anderson and Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately I'm going to go with Draymond
Green. You got to go with Day-Day, yeah. I agree.
My guards / wings are a bit undersized. Ager is the biggest at 6'5". Brown was 6'4". Lucas was about 6 foot. So I'm going to take Draymond Green to kind of fill that rebounder role.
And that's your leader right there.
But he's also my leader. He's got versatility. He can be the playmaker. His senior year, he could shoot the three.
He could. He developed that shot
very
nicely.
His first couple years, I was begging him not to shoot him.
Right.
But he kept at it, and he started making them, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to take Green as my four-man. I think my roster's shaping up.
How many dollars you got left?
I have $2 left.
Oh, you have $2 left? Yeah. Okay, because you went with Draymond. How many dollars you got left right now?
Yeah, right now, before I make my pick, before the power forward pick, I have $6 left.
Okay, gotcha. So what are you going to do with the power forward?
All right,
now?
Well, you know, we talked about shooting, and I have some shooting already. So for me at this point, I'm just looking for rebounding. But also, I'm also looking for a guy who's a playmaker. And I don't know if you guys thought for a second about Randolph. I didn't think for a second about picking him here.
I didn't either.
Because it's college level. You know, he came off the bench. He had a very specific role. When you're talking about overall, one-on-one, who's going to win in a game, at the college level, I don't think Randolph can beat nearly anybody on this list, back in college at least.
Mm-hmm.
I'd argue that.
He turned out to be a very good NBA player.
Right.
But yeah, back in college, I think he was I don't even know if he's a four, if he's a $4 guy. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think his pro performance kind of colors that perception.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in college, you know, he was a one-year guy.
Yeah, he was one and done. Yeah.
Came off the bench, and right. that was it.
Right.
He showed exactly. flashes for sure, but he wasn't like an all-time great
no.
here.
And that's why I'm surprised he was four. I would put some of the other guys. I would put Delvon and Granger up even a little bit higher.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Okay, so who'd you go with?
So here what I did is I went with Delvon Roe. I think that you're just looking for a good, solid rebounder here. He's not a guy that's going to be shooting. He's a guy that's going to be rebounding. I wanted to spend some money on the guys that Al despises, the big man, the center.
Yes, so. Because you spent a dollar. So you spent a dollar on your
I thought it's
on
a
your
good
power
value.
Forward.
I thought it was a good value. You're just looking
okay,
for
so
rebounding.
Okay, so start off the center then. Who'd you get?
Well, with here I have $5 left, so yep. I went with Davis.
Gotcha.
I think that he's very versatile. He's just as much as a leader, I'd argue, that Draymond was. I think you can get similar leadership
Whoa.
Qualities.
I don't know about that one,
Pump
Alex.
The brakes, Alex. No yeah. way.
He was a leader.
You think so?
Between him and Neitzel.
No.
I thought he was just as much of a leader than Neitzel was.
I don't know about that one, man. Davis definitely, I mean, he was a leader on the team, but comparing him to Draymond.
I mean, he wasn't a captain, but it doesn't mean he was not a leader.
Who's so but Day-Day is such a his personality was so in your face, and he rallied his team. I mean, I think it's just that's a no brainer to compare that leadership. I mean, I'm flabbergasted about that.
Remember, I'm not saying it's as good as Draymond.
Okay.
I'm saying you can get leadership, not up to par with Draymond, but you can still get good leadership out of Davis.
Okay, so you really went with Davis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Who'd you go with, Matt?
Well, I only had $2 left.
Okay,
I'm not
going to
leave a dollar on the table. I'm going to take Andre Hudson.
How is Hudson a two?
I don't know.
That's crazy to me. That's another thing I looked at and said, he's a $2, really?
He brings me toughness,
yeah,
rebounding, and obviously, when we have the documentary that airs on my fantasy team's tournament run, right, I have a narrator in my pocket. Right. It's perfect.
That is perfect. He's got a
no-brainer.
Voice.
Have to have him. Andre Hudson, $2.
I spent my money on Andre as well. So that's a pretty good list. So I went Mateen, Gary Harris, Raymond Morgan, Granger, and Andre Hudson. Who'd you go with, Matt? Really
I went with Kalen Lucas, Mo Egger, Shannon Brown, Draymond Green, Andre Hudson.
And Alex?
I ended mine with Kalen Lucas, Chris Hill, Shannon Brown, Delvon Rowe, and Paul Davis.
I want to know what your list would look like, folks. We're going to post this on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports so you can see the breakdown and give us your starting five, and we'll read it on the show
tomorrow. Wondering if there's a way that we can weigh this and decide who ultimately wins. Maybe some WKR staff pick on their favorite list. They don't see who it is. Maybe we give it to Aaron. Show him a list. What's your favorite list?
Right.
There's got to be, like, across the hall, they've got to have some simulation. Where we can,
simulation.
Plug
look
in,
at the stats or
plug
something.
Plug in all their stats and figure out which lineup would win.
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest, guys. I think mine's going to take
I think mine is. No, I think mine's pretty good, man. Those two guards, dude, Harris and Cleaves. Woo!
You know, I love the leadership on your squad. I just think I've got some balance. I think the only thing that might be trouble for me is I have guys fighting over the ball in the last minute of the game.
That could be a problem too, yeah. Because you got two guys who can definitely do
that. I mean, my first four all want the ball the clock is ticking down.
Yep.
That's tough. Delvon Rowe was a sneaky good pick by Alex.
Yeah, he was.
More than anything, just because he would know his role and he would play that role perfectly. He wouldn't try and do too much.
Right.
That's one of the fears
of
my
roster. For a dollar.
All the dollar guys.
I think so, yeah. Ager and
terrific value.
Torbert, yeah. We didn't even talk about Torbert.
But
yeah.
Obviously, the steal of all was Andre Hudson at $2. I can't argue with you guys on that.
Can see that.
That was quite a steal.
It's a pretty good list. So we'll post this on our Facebook page and have people weigh in on it. And maybe, maybe we could do some, maybe we have our intern kind of dive into the stats and kind of break it down. That may be a good, that'd be busy work. There you go. All right, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Man, time flies on this show, I tell you, folks. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about some Lions and also Brandon Kearney. He transfers, all that and so much more. Current Sports returns in just a sec. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. We have a caller on line one, Apachu. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
I like it when you guys throw it around amongst yourself. Get a lot of good stuff out of there. My comment is on Dan Marino. Where was Dan Marino when this all started? Mm-hmm. I remember when the real heroes of this lawsuit against the NFL came out and they were ridiculed and laughed at.
right, exactly. They were. I know. I remember that.
And this timing is, you see where the ebb flow is going, and you see what the pendulum is swinging, and now it's time to get in and get paid. It's just suspicious, the timing.
Right.
Great player. I admired him, man. Incredible quarterback. Good personality as an announcer, but I'm just suspicious as to his timing. And, you guys talk about the game, what effect it's going to have on youth.
Mm-hmm.
I think in suburbia that it is going to have an effect, okay? But in the inner city, kids play with all kind of danger. They grew up in danger. And a lot of times football, basketball, baseball is a way out, no matter how violent it is. When I first heard about this lawsuit, I said, no way, they have to know. This is an incredibly violent, intensive, highly impacting or impact sport. And it is very, very violent by its nature. And so I was surprised, and I'm surprised that they got anything out of it. So I got to respect the guys for doing that initially. And I think those are the real heroes, the cadre that came forward, taking that chance of being embarrassed and so forth. And that's what I like about LeBron James. LeBron James pretty much put his reputation on the line when he spoke out. Okay.
Right.
Because he's very popular, but he took a chance. Magic Johnson, a businessman, more so than a ex NBA player today. There's some very powerful people out there who may retaliate against him in the business world because of the position he took. These guys to me are courageous. These guys are heroes. And I think Dan Marino kind of tested the water, and he made sure the water was warm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna make some money possibly, but I would think that everybody be honest and say, you know what, sign this release form because if you play football, some very bad things can be, very possibly happen. Everybody I know, including myself and my son who played football,
yeah,
at least up to high school, have had permanent injuries. And this I think it's more PR than anything, running around showing these kids how to tackle with their head up and all that stuff. It ain't going to do it, man.
Yeah.
It may improve somewhat, but
the game is so fast sometimes. It's just it's hard to avoid it.
I used to officiate, and the game is so fast. It's just so fast, and there's so many bodies being thrown around and so forth. I mean, it's incredible, the speed of these athletes. And they're faster and faster, and they're bigger and bigger, and they're just more powerful and more powerful. And I'll give you an example of boxing. Boxing, there's better punching technique today, but the skull hasn't changed.
Right, okay? Exactly.
The impact is greater because of the science, but the skull is the same. So the impact is more dangerous than before. And the idea that boxers ain't complaining, they don't have the leverage football players do. It may come one day, but they don't have it right now. But anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Interesting.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Apache, for weighing in. You know, Apache just brought up a pretty, you know, talking about youth football and how the effect this could have. He brought up an interesting point about how in suburban neighborhoods it could have a greater impact than in, you know, neighborhoods such as where I'm from, in the west side of Detroit, where kids, like I said, there's violence all around them. They see football or basketball, baseball, sports as a way out sometimes. A way, you know, living in the really tough economic times that we live in today, especially in areas such as that, those are outlets for them. And sometimes they don't care about the risk. I mean, if they're good at something, their family rallies around you, and they could see you as a possible pro prospect. That kind of goes out the door. More so if you're financially secure in suburban America, where you're financially secure, you're set in stone financially. I mean, there's a risk there that you definitely weigh more so than somebody who's growing up and really just going through hard times.
Absolutely.
I definitely see that.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're, you know, 15 and you're looking for a way to support your family.
Right.
I don't think, you know, stuff that's not going to affect you till you're 50,
you don't
60.
Think about it.
I mean, at that point, it's kind of foolish to think about that because, you know, maybe the situation you're in now, you might not get there anyway.
Exactly.
So why not try and do anything you can to help yourself in the present tense? But like you said, you know, in suburban neighborhoods, parents aren't going to put their kids in what they think is danger and what very well possibly is danger.
Right.
Just to play a game.
And they're more sheltered in those areas, too. Let's be honest here. I mean, they're more sheltered. Some of them are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They're more sheltered.
And they have so many more options.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just
way more options. Yeah. I mean, and they could play a sport like baseball where, I mean, we talked about the cost of equipment and all that kind of stuff. And don't get me started on golf, too.
I was just going to bring up golf.
Yeah, golf is another one where it's expensive to play. So that's why you see kids who are, you know, growing up in, you know, these hard economic areas. I mean, it's easy to get a football, get some buddies, and start playing. Or find a basketball goal and start shooting some hoops. It's easy. It's cheap. So there's a lot of I'm very glad he – I never even thought about that until Apache brought that up. But that's a very interesting point. All right. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, folks. But thanks so much for all of those who weighed in on today's discussion. Thanks, Apache, for calling in. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE's Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.